Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution, with your host, Michael B.
I am your host, Michael B., and this is The Truth Zone, coming to you live from North Dallas, Texas, on this beautiful July 20th, 2017. So, today's topic is going to be, is the Church of Rome the Whore of Babylon? Now, in Revelations, Babylon represents all world governments. It really represents the New World Order. The whore is established religion. And as we know, before the Protestant Reformation, the Catholic Church had a monopoly on all of Christendom. And the Pope, back in the day of the Dark Ages, Middle Ages, call it whatever, chose the Holy Roman Emperor. And the first Holy Roman Emperor, as memory serves, was Charlemagne, who was christened, if you will, on Christmas Day. And there's no accident there, folks, that it was Christmas Day, 800 Annos Dominos. Christmas Day, originally, is the Feast of Saturnalia. Saturn is the god of war in Roman mythology. So, it was no surprise. Mars is too, but Saturn is like the god of war. I think he's also the god of fertility. I should have looked that up. But if you look up who Saturn is, he does have to do with war. He has to do with manly and earthly delights. And blood and carnage and the whole deal. Which really comes from Satan. Right? Satan, you could say, would be the most bloodlustiest entity out there. So, choosing Christmas Day to do that was no accident. Now, of course, perhaps to fake out the people, you would do that on Christ's birthday, you know, the Holy Roman Emperor. Well, we know that Christ was not born on December 25th. We don't know exactly. Could have been any time between spring and fall. But December 25th, chosen to overlay pagan rituals. So the Church of Rome would be quite fitting. And you're going to hear three audio clips today. And you're going to hear some familiar names. And they all have a common denominator. And a common denominator is Jesuit. The Jesuits are basically a mafia-like strong arm of the Catholic Church. And like communism has infiltrated the United States government, the Jesuits have made it all the way to the papacy. And you're going to see that common denominator. Now, before we get into that, the biggest buzz going around is the medical diagnosis of Senator John McCain. Some people are happy, they're wishing it on him. Some people are calling it karma. You reap what you sow. It's God's will. John McCain's brain cancer has nothing to do with those three modes of thought. Those are false teachings by false prophets. And karma is a false teaching from the East, which is where on the earthly realm Satan resided. And in particular, in the Babylon, Mesopotamia area, which is why, well, he wasn't Jehovah at the time, and I've explained this, names in the Bible are symbolic of an event or the personality of the person or the personality of God. He is now Jehovah because that's the last name he gave to the prophet Moses. I am who I shall prove to be. Before that, he was El Shaddai, God Almighty. And he pulled Abram out of that evil Babylonian territory and had him go west into Canaan, which is now Israel. And of course, changed his name to Abraham, father of all nations. So that's how that went. Karma, this is not about karma, okay? Karma is false. The book of Ecclesiastes says, man is beholden or vulnerable, take your pick, to unforeseen occurrences. If this is John McCain's karma, can you then explain all of the children lying in hospital beds at St. Jude's? What did they do? What was their karma? Was it something they did in a past life? Another false teaching? Or was it something the parents did? Maybe this is the parents' karma. Another false teaching. Oh, this is God's will. God willed this to happen. No, he didn't. It is not God's will to have us suffer in pain and in sorrow. God wants us to be happy, to worship him correctly, and to love one another as he, through Jesus Christ, loves us. That is God's will. This notion that he's reaping what he's sown. No. He's 80 years old. And in today's day and age, you either, if you live long enough, you either die of cancer or you die of heart disease. Cancer is skyrocketing because our air, water, and food have been poisoned. They've been poisoned with a myriad of chemicals. Sugar is known to destroy the human body. Everything we buy at the grocery store that has any process to it is loaded with sugar. You go to a restaurant, everything has sugar and salt in it for seasoning. Everything. You chew gum, there's either sugar, phenylalanine, and aspartame in it. That's poison. This is why cancer is skyrocketing. The definition of reaping what you sow is this. If I am a miserable prick, and I turn everybody off around me, and then I discover years later, I'm living a very lonely life. I have no friends, nothing. I sowed that to happen, and now I'm reaping it. If I am a joyous person, if I am a friendly person, and I have many, many friends about me that love me, I have reaped what I've sown. If I go to the doctors and I'm told that I have 100% blockage in two of my arteries, and I need life-threatening heart surgery, that is nothing that I reaped. Unless, of course, I ate two cheeseburgers every day and I drank like a fish. I may have reaped that from sowing that over the years, but it has nothing to do with me of who I am as a person. It doesn't work that way. Now, if I'm a gangster, right, and I'm a drug lord, and I'm shooting people, and I'm involved with very dangerous people, and I wind up getting shot to death, you can say, yes, I reaped what I sowed. You can say that. But brain cancer and heart disease and a plane crash has nothing to do with karma, God's will, or something that I've sown and now I've reaped it. Has nothing to do with it. Man is befallen to unforeseen occurrences. Our bodies are corruptible because we have fallen from grace, which is Jesus Christ, and we have done harm to our atmosphere. Well, I haven't personally, and I'm sure you haven't personally. You know that the powers that be have created an atmosphere where heart disease, depression, anxiety, suicide, cancer, they're all escalating. They're all escalating. Our bodies breaking down, our attention deficit growing, our apathy, our cruelty, all those things are byproducts of what we have created. But John McCain's brain cancer isn't because he is a rotten person as a politician owned by the mafia. He is no hero. People that served with him, knew him in the military, said so. He was no hero. He is no American statesman. Now, I understand that Donald Trump has to play the game. Oh, we wish him well. Oh, he's a fighter, great American, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I get that. But he's not being honest. John McCain is not an American hero. But this is not God's will. This is not karma. He didn't reap a brain tumor. What he reaped was many, many people don't like him, and many, many people he has made angry, hence the nastiness on Facebook. And as I said moments ago on Facebook, most likely, perhaps this brain tumor is a blessing for America because the people of Arizona were incapable of voting him out. That doesn't mean it's God's will and it's karma. We are adhering to false teachings. Now, before I get into the video clips, I want to read two scriptures. And it's interesting, coming from the Apostle Paul, that the first one is the first letter to Timothy chapter 4, and the second one I'm going to read is 2 Timothy chapter 4. Interesting how that works out. And Paul probably did that purposefully when he wrote them. So, however, the inspired utterance says definitely that in later periods of time, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to misleading inspired utterances and teachings of demons. That's this New Age Eastern paganism business. by the hypocrisy of men who speak lies, marked in their conscience as with a branding iron, forbidding to marry. No, that's the Catholic priesthood, and we're going to get into the Church of Rome. Commanding to abstain from foods, also a false doctrine, which God created to be partaken of thanksgiving by those who have faith and accurately know the truth. The reason for this is that every creation of God is fine and nothing is to be rejected. And he's talking about food here. But do you see the false teachings of demons? We move on to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is destined to judge the living and the dead. So there will be judgment. And by his manifestation and his kingdom, preach the word, be it urgently in favorable season, in troublesome season. Reprove, reprimand, exhort with all long-suffering and art of teaching. So we are to reprove our government leaders. We are to reprove our brothers and sisters. And we are to reprove and set straight those that have fallen from the truth. For there will be a period of time when they will not put up with helpful teaching, but in accord with their own desires, they will accumulate teachers for themselves to have their ears tickled, to be told what they want to be told. And I talked about this in Bible class last night that, you know, Antichrist, and that is everyone who has not taken up the cross. You see, you are either with the cross or you are against the cross. There is no gray area. Okay, you have either accepted the teachings of the Bible or you have discarded them. That's just the way it is. And the Antichrist out there try to make we Christians stumble by saying, well, you know, you're not allowed to judge, and you're not allowed to judge people's behavior, and you have to love everybody, and you have to forgive everything. Well, there's forgiveness, and then there's reconciliation, which one of the brothers brought up last night, which is true. There's forgiveness, but that doesn't mean I have to be a doormat. That doesn't mean that I have to accept abominations like homosexuality, pedophilia. I don't have to accept those that steal, those that hurt people. I don't have to have them in my home. I don't have to have them in my inner circle. Would I minister to them? Should they ask for help? Absolutely. If they change their ways, would I forgive them and bring them in my inner circle? Absolutely. But I will not be a doormat, and I don't have to accept everything in the name of God's love, because God does not accept everything. That's another false teaching, and that's something that the third clip will get into, this universalism. No, there is no universalism. The only universalism is uniting under the cross. That is all there is. So, to continue, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, whereas they will be turned aside to false stories. You, though, the believer, keep your senses in all things, suffer evil, do the work of the evangelizer, fully accomplish your ministry. So we are not to adopt false teachings, which is why reading the Bible every day, congregating with fellow brothers and sisters, having Bible studies in the home is crucial to understand true knowledge. And this is why people are behaving the way they are in regards to Senator McCain. And this is why, you know, If it's God's will for somebody to suffer brain cancer, how can we call him a loving father then? You see, that's the problem. We can't. It's inconsistent with who Jehovah through Jesus Christ is. Totally inconsistent. Did Jesus Christ say to blind men and cripples, "Well, it's God's will for you to suffer. Have a nice day." No, he healed them. Because that is God's will. God's will for us is to lead a happy life. You see, that's his plan. And I laugh at other believers too, in a way, that say, you know, God has a specific plan for you. His only plan for you, ladies and gentlemen, again, is to worship him with all your heart and your mind and your soul, and to love one another as he has loved and loves you. That is God's plan for all of us. Thank you. It's not, "Oh, well, he plans for me to be a doctor. He plans for me to go to Iraq and shoot people up. He plans for me to go into politics. He oh, it must be God's will that I can't get a job. It must be God's will that, you know, hey, I just have to rely on the government and what have you. I'm a victim." No. Not God's will. God does not will us to be suffer and unhappy. It's the opposite that he wills. So I'm going to go into the first clip titled "The Scary Truth About the Catholic Church." And for those of you that are Catholic that may be listening to this or will listen to this, it is not my intention to attack your faith. It is my objective, as it said in 2 Timothy, to help you keep your senses, as it says in 1 Timothy, to reprimand, well, not really to reprimand as in scolding, but to reprove, to set things straight, to spark something in you, to investigate on your own what the truth is. That is what I try to do. I try to be a catalyst for you to go out there, prove me wrong. But I'm trying to set wheels in motion for all of you. It's like you put your finger in the water and you see it shoot out, you know, in little waves. That's what I'm trying to do. So here's the first clip.
The Vatican and her people all deserve the Academy Award Oscar for the best performance of innocency and piety, and also for makeup and wardrobe design, making her outward appearance that of Snow White. Underneath her Snow White outfit, there are running, festering sores and ringworm. On the outside, she smiles sweetly and says, "I love you, brother." But behind her bony back, she hides hands that drip with the blood of martyrs. The Vatican is posing as Snow White, but the Bible says that she's a prostitute, the great whore, a cult, Revelation 19:2. She uses government agency branches in every country, including the United States, as her vicious little dwarfs. The more power and control she gets in government, the more she will fade into the background in her snow-white disguise, so that government will be used and blamed for all her evil deeds. Reason: to enforce laws that harass, malign, destroy, and censor everyone and every idea that is not Roman Catholic, so she can sit as the satanic queen, the big whore. Because of her age-old desire to control the world government and church, The serpent-like Vatican has infested the world and the U.S. government with so many of her zealous, highly trained, and dedicated Jesuit devotees that she now controls the United Nations, which she created. The White House, Congress, every state, federal, civic, and social government agency, including the U.S. Department of Labor, the IRS, the FBI, the Supreme Court, judicial systems, the armed forces, state, federal, and other police, also the international banking and federal reserve systems, called the Illuminati and Agentur, labor unions, the mafia, and most of the heavyweight news media. This cult, the Vatican, is very close to replacing our U.S. Constitution with her one-world satanic canon laws of death to the heretic, anyone who is not Roman Catholic. General Lafayette, President George Washington's most respected aide and general, prophetically stated, "If the liberties of the American people are ever destroyed, they will fall by the hand of the Roman Catholic cult's clergy." Today we see the climax of detailed plans given in excerpts from a speech given nearly 50 years ago in Australia by Roman Catholic Archbishop Gilroy. The Roman Catholic motto is "Ourselves alone for fellow Roman Catholics." We must defeat all heretics, non-Roman Catholics, at the ballot box. The Holy Father states that negative tactics are fatal. The demands of the Holy Father, the Pope, are that the public services should be 100% Roman Catholic soon. Care must be taken that no suspicion may be raised when Roman Catholics are secretly given more government jobs than Protestants, Jews, and other heretics. Multi-millions of people have been slaughtered by the Vatican, thus saith the Lord. Revelation 18:24. History bears record to this fact. During the Roman Catholic Inquisition in Europe, 68 million people were tortured, maimed, and murdered by this huge sect. The St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre accounted for the butchering of as many as 100,000 Protestants. Abraham Lincoln blamed the papacy for the Civil War in these words: "This war would never have been possible without the sinister and secretive influence of the Jesuits. We owe it to Popery that we now see our land reddened with the blood of her noblest sons." Lincoln added, "I am for liberty of conscience in its noblest, broadest, and highest sense, but I cannot give liberty of conscience to the Pope and to his followers, the papists, so long as they tell me through their councils, theologians, and canon laws that their conscience orders them to burn my wife, strangle my children, and cut my throat when they find their opportunity." Because of Abraham Lincoln's many exposés of the Vatican, he was put to death, just as he foretold. Yes, assassinated by the Jesuits under Rome's instructions. The Vatican hasn't changed since Mr. Lincoln's time. JFK's fatal mistake. When John F. Kennedy was asked by...
I just want to make this clear about what Abraham Lincoln was saying. He was probably referring to the Inquisition, perhaps. This history of the Roman Catholic Church has nothing to do with the scriptures and biblical teachings of Christ and his apostles. Now, this is a far cry from Islam. In Islam scriptures, in the Quran, it does talk about killing the infidel and how to do it. Stoning, burning, dropping them off the highest cliffs, which now they use buildings and such. See, that is in their scriptures. What the Roman Catholic Church has done over the years has nothing to do with our sacred scriptures. I want that to be clear. And I find it funny that over the years on Facebook, people try to tie in the cruelty of the Hebrew scriptures with Christianity. You can't do that. Okay? The Jews were under, and to them, they're still under, a different covenant. And they just, we have the same God, Jehovah, but Jews have failed to move on to the new covenant of Jesus Christ. And one has to remember, excuse me, the time of Moses was some 4,000 years ago. Okay? The mentality of man was far different than what it was in Christ's time and what it is now. So, the events that took place in the Hebrew scriptures and then what the Catholic Church have done is not of the New Testament Christian scriptures. I want that to be clear.
The Vatican, are you going to go along with the Roman canon law or the U.S. Constitution? Mr. Kennedy answered them by saying, the U.S. Constitution. This was President Kennedy's fatal mistake. His assassination was ordered by Rome, then planned and carried out by Jesuits, just as President Lincoln's was. Anyone who knew too much about Mr. Kennedy's assassination was taken care of, too. World War II, with its casualties of over 30 million deaths, 6 million Jews, the Holocaust, was conjured up and sponsored by the Vatican. Hitler, Mussolini, and Franco were all members of this sect, the Roman Catholic cult. To win the world not for Christ, but for the Vatican, the Antichrist. The turmoil in Central and South America, the tyranny under Jesuit-trained Castro in Cuba and throughout the Caribbean, and the terrorism in Lebanon and Ireland today are the Vatican's handiwork. Now can you see why God calls the Roman Catholic cult the mother of every abomination on earth? Revelation 17:5. Jim Jones, a Roman Catholic Jesuit deacon, posing as a Christian, was sacrificed, not with poison Kool-Aid, murdered along with his flock by the Vatican to make the world look narrowly and suspiciously upon innocent Christian retreats. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Proverbs 6:16-19. All these things that God hates, the devilish Vatican is. Did you ever notice that with the Vatican-controlled U.S. customs and immigration, we cannot get out of this country without going through the third degree, searches, radar, etc.? But in the 1960s, when Jesuit Vatican-trained Timothy Leary led our nation's youth into drug addiction, immigration and customs seemed unable then, as they do now, to detect tens of thousands of pounds of narcotics and drugs entering into our once fair nation via the mafia. which launders all of its illicit, ill-gotten gain, all its black market money, through the Vatican.
In this clip, which obviously is a video from YouTube, while he's talking about this, the video also shows a map of Arkansas. And, of course, George H.W. Bush and William Jefferson Clinton worked together to run, allegedly allowed the drug cartels to fly drugs into, I believe it's called MENA Airport, outside of Little Rock, I believe, to run these drugs. And it's in Roger Stone's book, The Clinton's War on Women, the George H.W. Bush-Bill Clinton connection.
Maybe this is why President Abraham Lincoln said, "I see a very dark cloud on America's horizon, and that dark cloud is coming from Rome." At the One World Church Convention in Vancouver, some of our volunteers were shocked by the pro-homosexual booths and literature, pro-witchcraft booths and literature, drunkenness and total ungodliness which this universal, world's largest cult and sect exalts. These satanic people call anyone that preaches the true word, which is separation from evil, consecration unto good, they call this a cult or a sect. But they worship this one world organization and its cult leader, the Pope, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, or a soon-to-come pope, as God, will soon sit in the temple of God in Jerusalem, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-10. They kneel and kiss his ring and feet and call him Holy Father, which is forbidden in the Bible. They obey his every wish by calling us a cult, who walk in the Spirit and obey God's every wish. They have possibly committed the unpardonable sin, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is never forgiven in this world nor in the world to come. Matthew 12:31-32. But Satan does not care because he already has blasphemed the Holy Spirit. There are many beautiful people in the Roman Catholic cult who are not wealthy, some are even very poor, and who are not seeking for high position. Most are very humble. These common people are completely unaware of the wickedness that has been and is being committed by the Roman cult, which they have been told is a church. Because God knows their sincere hearts, He is the God of our heart. He says unto these ignorant people, "Come out of her, my people." Revelation 18:4. So let's pray they will soon. A grim reminder to the satanic superboss, the Pope, who runs the Roman house of prostitution and the governments that give her power. "Your reign is very short-lived, thus saith the Lord. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught." Revelation 18:17. "And her smoke rose up for ever and ever." Revelation 19:3. "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." Revelation 16:13. The Jewish priesthood ended at Calvary. Nowhere in the Bible has God ever given authority of priesthood to Italians, Poles, or any other race of people other than the Jews. And out of the 12 Jewish tribes, only from the tribe of Levi did God bring forth priests. This shows that the Vatican is unscriptural and living in a world of fantasy and make-believe. When Jesus said, "It is finished," Jesus became the only high priest. John 19:30. The Vatican wants to move from Rome to Jerusalem. On September 26, 1973, the Houston Chronicle reported that the politically power-hungry Henry Kissinger helped this super cult, the Vatican, by proposing that Jerusalem become an international city with the control of holy places and the religious administration being given to the Pope.
So you learn something new every day. I didn't know that, but that makes perfect sense. An international city sounds to me like the hub of the New World Order, does it not? One city, one government. Very, very interesting. We now have a second clip called The Five Dark, Dirty Secrets of the Catholic Church Exposed. Now, I've talked about the common denominators of pedophilia and human sex trafficking amongst the elites of the New World Order, of the Muslims, high-end politicians. We have certain emails from WikiLeaks that suggest such things. We've heard about that, right? Well, we're going to hear how the Church of Rome also engaged. And the person's going to talk about how the pedophilia was exposed in the 1980s. Well, and people that knew me back then could testify that I told of this before it came out in public. Because I went to Catholic school in 1978, 79, and then high school. Now, thank you, Jesus Christ, that I was never, nobody ever attempted anything on me. Matter of fact, I didn't even let them hit me. One time I was hit by a Catholic brother, and I got out of my desk, and I said, "Don't you hit me again." And I was this scrawny 100-pound kid. I didn't care. And those Catholic brothers hit my classmates. One of them broke a freaking yardstick over his back. And I knew that these people weren't right. Some were drunk. You could tell they were drinkers. And I could tell that they were... See, I didn't really know what homosexuality was at the age of 13 and 14. I just knew that something wasn't right with some of those people. And as I got older, you know, you learn things, right? You learn. Because it wasn't shoved down our throats, no pun intended, in our schools like it is today. So in high school, Catholic high school, I realized something wasn't right. And I said, you know what, to my friends, you know what? I bet you there's a lot of homosexuals, a lot of homosexual teachers. And I bet you that they would just love to molest students. And I wonder if that's going on. And then it was like a couple of years later, it exploded all over the news that pedophilia and child molestation was going on with so many priests. It was an absolute worldwide pandemic, hidden and suppressed, covered up by several popes and cardinals. So let's go into the five dark secrets of the Catholic Church.
This is by Alessandro Moreschi, the last known castrati to have ever lived. Before the 1700s, essentially all Western music compositions were religious. This was a large market for the Catholic Church, as all choir boys were the product of the Vatican Catholic Church. In order to preserve and capitalize on these young men's voices, a common practice began to take place. They began castrating boys. With the peak of popularity around the 18th century, boys aged 7 to 9 were forcefully castrated, meaning their genitals were cut off. They were then known as castrates, or in English, castrados. Boys were drugged to the point of barely being conscious and then placed in a hot bath. Operations had an incredible mortality rate of about 80%. This was done in order to stop the maturing of their singing voices. These boys would grow to have the lungs of men while having the vocal range and voice of a prepubescent boy. Priests are said to have offered money to parents of talented children for the privilege of performing this horrific procedure. It is rumored that priests would go as far to tell parents that if any suspicion arose among family and or friends, to tell them that the boy had been in an accident with a wild boar. The Sistine Chapel still continued to use castrati boys until 1903, the last of which being Alessandro Moreschi. It is by no means a secret in today's society that the Catholic Church has had a severe problem internally in terms of pedophilia. However, the widespread knowledge of this wasn't always the case. In fact, child abuse within the church really only came to light as recently as the 1980s. This is an astonishing fact considering that for decades, the church has covered up thousands of child abuse cases. In 2002, the Boston Globe would bring the problem to the forefront when they blew the lid on a horrendous child abuse case within the church. Among the worst are John Jogan, who molested up to 130 different boys, and Lawrence Murphy, who raped a staggering 200 disabled and deaf boys. Proof of the disgraceful view the church has on pedophilia lies among the punishment Lawrence Murphy received, which was none. That's right, not only was he not punished, he wasn't even fired. On top of that, when he passed away, he was buried with the full honors of a Holy Roman Catholic priest. These are just two of over 3,000 priests who have been accused around the world of child molestation in the last 50 years alone. A statement released by Pope Francis himself in 2014 revealed that pedophilia within the church is at about 2%. This is an incredible number, meaning that it is 1 in 50 priests. In other words, with the estimated 414,000 priests active globally, there are about 8,286 pedophile priests active right now, of which nearly half most likely reside within the United States. Most of these priests will never see punishment, as the covering up of these crimes internally has allowed for enough time for the statute of limitations to run out. In the 1930s, Francisco Franco successfully led a rebellion military to overthrow Spain's Democratic Republic. He would go on to rule Spain and established a brutal dictatorship. He had in plan a mind to purify Spain. One way in which he believed to achieve this was to steal babies and prevent deemed undesirable parents from raising their newborns. As the Catholic Church ran most of the schools, hospitals, and orphanages at the time, Franco got in close ties with the church. Nuns working within hospitals ran by the church would take mothers' newborn babies out of the room for an examination, where they would then swap the child with an already dead baby kept on ice. They would then return with a dead baby and convince the mother that their child had passed away. These children were then taken and either placed in Catholic orphanages or sold in illegal profit-making adoptions, of which all profits went to the church. When Franco died in 75, the church...
That sounds like a lot like The Omen, doesn't it? Where Richard Thorne and his wife Kathy gave birth in Rome in a Catholic hospital. And the doctors were also Catholic priests. They killed their baby, and they handed Richard Thorne the Antichrist. So a very interesting similarity there with the baby killing and the switching, what have you.
Church could have stopped these actions. However, they continued stealing babies until at least 1987. It is remarkable to think of the impact that this has had on thousands of people within Spain. These children ended up living completely different lives than they may have. 15% of all children adopted from 1960 to 1989 were stolen babies or sold into the child trafficking trade. This is Sister Abaya, who on March 27, 1992, went missing. Under her fridge was a single slipper that belonged to her, but aside from that, nothing else was found. It wasn't long before her body was found in a nearby well. Upon investigation, it was deemed that she had committed suicide, and the case was closed. 16 years later, in 2007, the case was reopened by the Central Bureau of Investigation. This came at the request of over 60 nuns working where Sister Abaya herself had worked. They believed suicide was not the cause of her death. Three individuals, Father Pathuru Kayil, Father Thomas M. Couture, and Sister Sefi, were all interviewed under a narcoanalysis, which is a serum test. With the serum at work, all three made a shocking confession. They revealed that they had murdered Sister Abaya in a joint effort. So what could possibly motivate not one, but three members of the church to commit such a crime? Sister Abaya had walked in on all three, naked. A panicked Sister Sefi then grabbed an axe, hitting Sister Abaya three times over the head, killing her. All three then proceeded in throwing her body down a well, the well in which she had been found. Investigators working the case have claimed that there are invisible hands manipulating the case behind the scenes. It starts with the initial evidence found at the crime scene. For some odd reason, all the evidence, including Sister Abaya's personal diary, her veil, the slipper, and other key evidence has went missing. Multiple investigators working the case have mysteriously resigned from their positions. Some have had their careers ruined and others have even committed suicide. There is a strong belief that there is pressure from the Catholic Church, who is manipulating this case with their vast resources and money. As a result, all three suspects have yet to be charged, as a trial hasn't been able to take place due to the evidence disappearing. The church has always had a strong stance on sexuality and sex outside of marriage. Therefore, it comes as no surprise that there's a dark history involving the treatment of women. Beginning in the 18th century and taking place mainly in Ireland, the church imprisoned many women involved in prostitution, even if only suspect, and those deemed as promiscuous. They were placed in asylums to get treatment for their sins. As proof of the vast power the church holds over many, a large magnitude of these women were placed in these asylums by their own families. Inside the asylums, the women were forced into intense labor for 7 days a week. Their work gained a hefty profit for the church, as the laundries were run for profit. Around 30,000 women were sent to these asylums, where they were often sexually abused, beat, and had horrific living conditions. Running from the 18th to the 20th century, this history of the church was incredibly only revealed in 1993, when over 150 bodies were found buried in a mass grave in Ireland. The church had buried these women secretly, without notifying families or authorities, as none had death certificates. Unsurprisingly, the Catholic Church has once again not apologized.
Very, very startling indeed, which is why we must investigate on our own. Knowledge is power. We must understand that a rotten tree cannot bear good fruit. So, the fact that Christendom made that deal in the 4th century with the Emperor Constantine, the Council of Nicaea, to in effect infuse paganism with the pure form of Christianity, we can understand the Catholic Church's gradual decay over the years. And the Jesuits, you've heard all the names. They don't have the greatest history. However, understanding the Word of God to repel false Eastern pagan teachings, such as karma, God's will for us to suffer, and we sow and reap deadly diseases and suffering are false teachings. In that way, ladies and gentlemen, we can arm ourselves with the proper armor of God, and we can be bulletproof from Satan's lies. And here is bulletproof. I played this last week. I want to play it again. That third clip is almost 40 minutes. So I'm going to do a part two tomorrow. And I'm gonna open with that and grab a few more materials. So we're going to do part two on Is the Church of Rome the Whore of Babylon?
I had no hope for tomorrow. Felt so much pressure, yes, I thought I would crack. But now there's no looking back. I'm moving forward, cause I know I got my armor now. No fear, no doubt, can't shoot me down, yeah. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt. Gonna shoot me down, 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 down. My soul is untouchable because you've already won me. My victory is not in this flesh and bone. It's in the cross and I know nobody's taking it from me. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt, can't shoot me down, yeah. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt, gonna shoot me down, 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 down.
This is Michael B. of the Truth Zone. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central Time.